Blog Talk Radio.
I'm muted.
Hey, unmuted is right. Good evening.
Break it up.
Tree. I'm a part of All Poetry, one of the largest internet poetry sites, and this is Blog Talk Radio. And I want to thank Kevin at All Poetry and Deb, a lovely leader inside of Team of Voices, who I am doing my beautiful tiny little show here tonight. Let's see. We have a house full already tonight. I'm very happy. First, we're going to do Rack and Tour. Hello, Rack and Tour.
Hello, Lucy.
And then we're going to say to the Mad Hatter, a happy hello. Hi, Hatter Hatter.
Hello. Hey, nobody bigger than Tommy Rowe.
I know, beautiful Tommy Rowe, who wrote Won't You Dance With Me, Sweet Pea, which was released on January 9th, 1966. Of course, that's the same day I was released, which is why it's one of my favorite songs. And, of course, everybody wants to dance with Sweet Pea. Why? Of course, because I'm gorgeous. And then we're also going to say hello to
yes,
Dad.
You are.
Hello, Dad.
I'm resident rubbish from Redhead.
Hi, sweet.
Yes.
Gorgeous, thank you.
So, today is Veterans Day, so hello all my veterans out there. How is everyone doing?
Yeah.
I want to thank you for all your service and everything you've ever done for me, because as you all know, I'm one proud American girl. And speaking of being one proud American girl, I'm going to say hello to one proud Australian man. Hello, Mr. AP. How are we down under?
Hello, sweet. Well, I have to say, wherever so American military folk have been found in the last little while, Australians have been not too far behind them.
That's absolutely true.
So, well done to all those military folk in the US, and thank you for their service.
We love Australians.
So, are you tonight, sir? Are you working hard?
It's a Friday afternoon, sweet. I sort of get to kick back on a Friday afternoon, so I'm going to hang around for a little while today.
Good. How is tomorrow? Is it going to be a good one for us?
Yeah.
Hope so. Hope so. It's bloody cold here, so I'm hoping it's not so cold. But, I mean, apart from that, it's good.
Well, it is November. It's usually bloody cold.
Yes.
It's spring.
It's November. It's usually damn hot here. You know, it's not, though, I'm here to tell you. Peter is on, and I'm sitting below it.
Oh, my goodness. That's kind of odd for... It's kind of odd for you this time of year.
It is. It is.
All right.
It's very strange. We've got massive floods in the center of Australia. So, 2,500 kilometer thunderstorm bands. It's huge.
Think of all the gold that's going to be exposed.
Yeah, I know. It's gold. There'd be gold in those there hills.
Yeah, right. Waiting for me.
You'd be here, there'd be gold.
I have a story to tell you, my friend, my kilometer. Yes, I have a story to tell everyone. So we all know that I went on vacation and I went to Washington, D.C. And
yes.
I was very upset about the way the East Coast drivers were. I mean, you talk about a bunch of buttheads. And
you're right.
I was really mad about these jerks. And they're cutting me and my husband off, and they're running up on us, and it's raining, and they just kept coming up on our rear ends, and this is going on, and I'm getting really angry because my husband's going like 70 miles an hour, and they're still cutting us off, and they're going around us, and I'm like, what is wrong with these guys? What jerks, right? And I look over at my husband's speedometer, and I'm like, I don't know how, you know, I'm complaining. And then I realized that we are going 70 kilometers per hour. So guess who the...
Shucks. 45?
Yeah, 45.
So the biggest drivers on the East Coast were us.
Yeah, but you were right the first time, sweet. It's a jungle out there.
It really is.
It is a jungle out there.
Yeah.
Jungle.
Yeah, but we would have never even thought. But yeah, this car, 2021, and Jeep Cherokee, console like of the car, one flip of the switch took you from miles per hour to kilometers, and somehow when we started driving it, so yeah, we're going 70 kilometers, and yeah, we were the biggest jerks because everyone was honking at us, and we're like, what is your problem?
Ah.
So I thought you'd find that quite amusing.
You had out-of-state plates, right? So.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
That was bad.
Well, here's a little tip for you for any other trips out here. I personally could not be paid to drive in Philly, just saying. People that were honking at you for only going snail's pace, pale in comparison to you driving through Philly.
That's awful. You guys, I can barely hear anybody right now, so hopefully you guys can still hear me.
We hear you loud and clear.
Okay.
Yep.
I can't hear you guys loud and clear, so if I'm not listening very well, it's not that I'm not listening, I just can't hear you. All right.
Understood.
So, I am going to have AP get thrown on the board first and foremost.
Oh. Okay, we can do that.
But I got to get to the board.
Don't throw him too hard. He's already got an injury.
but it's okay. We're working on it. Okay, it's on the board. Sweet. I love this poem. And I just love this poem. The reason I love this poem. Yeah, I love this poem. And I love this poem because it's got beautiful cadence, and it's sort of my hometown, and because it rhymes within stanzas and has the slang length, and it appeals to the sort of strangeness in me. This is Sparks in Sandstone Foam goes a little bit like this. Alight the lime-green meadows, grass fluorescent tails of cattle to ocean swishing they stand, deep baying echoes in a scent. Salt water entwines me within sand. Waves boom as waters descend over islands, rock thrones of penguins and seals mould. Storm the dueling green strands. Upon me a lighthouse sweeps gold. Cypress dark, shadow blinding, sparks blink in sandstone foam. Dissolves the heat reminding, guide, I'm near home. I'm standing within a cemetery, gales in ascent, plot uncovered as casket returns to land. Keening of gulls echo consent, breeze pries and racks as fanned. Darkness grips tight, these silky fern lands, shivers overtaking within grief unfold. Darker shadows of pine stands, upon me a lighthouse sweeps gold. Dark cypress, shadow blinding, blink sparks in sandstone foam, dissolves the heat reminding, my guide, I'm near home. End poem.
Okay, P, I have to say this is probably going to rack up there as one of my favorites of yours. One, I'm a very strong believer in the, sights and sounds of the lighthouse metaphor of being home and their, you know, guidance home and the softness of home. I love lighthouses. As a child, I used to watch the lighthouse light go round and round and round from my bedroom window. As I was falling asleep, because there's this huge lighthouse down by the lake, and I was able to see that, so I often fell asleep to it. And it just plays that in my mind, that that's the soft place to land, that's the place to go, and the way you bring this poem in, I really, really enjoyed that. Tales of the cattle to ocean swishing they stand, deep baying echoes and accents, salt water entwines me within sand. I love that. I think that's just so beautiful in the way you put that. I know you've been on the East Coast, so just the lighthouses along there, but there's so many lighthouses within the Great Lakes, and I being from the area of the Great Lakes, just watching them too, it's really beautiful to see some of the old lighthouses in the Great Lakes and how they bring them home. And I love also, I'm standing within a cemetery, gales and ascent, plot uncovered as casket returns to land. That is a beautiful, beautiful line. It brings a lot of dark imagery and a lot of, you know, thoughts to me as far as I go into the pirates and I go into old ships and the wooden ships and, you know, things like that, you know, where women would stand and wait for sailors to return. And it's just really stunning poem. And usually I don't go on and on like this about your poems because, you know, feeding your ego is just something I try not to do, but this one just totally deserves it. I really did enjoy it. Deborah Lee, your thoughts on this?
You're a bugger. I do. I remember this one actually. Between the wording, the cadence, the inner outer rhyme, and the flow, and the goosebumps that you got from some of the parts of it, and the aside from the lighthouse itself, the thought of the beacon, the thought of the reminder of home, the guide to get you there when you're in the dark, all the emotions really, really ooze out of this one. And from page 6 too, not to inflate your ego any, but it's an amazing poem. I couldn't resist.
Thank you, Deb.
You're welcome.
And Raconteur.
Yeah, I'm not worried about your ego. I enjoyed it very much.
Me either.
and that's the beauty of it, you know. Anyway, you pull it off. You pull it off. It's a lovely poem. I love the imagery in it more than anything. I mean, the cadence adds to it and everything. And you know, the I've yet to see you write something that's not readable. So you know, that's kind of a given. But and you know, the imagery, you're always, you know, do an amazing job with that as well. But you know, for me, this one, I don't know why it makes me think of Alaska. Maybe it's because you mentioned the penguins and seals, and I know it's not necessarily Alaska, but you know, that's just what came to mind when you said it. But the thought, I think, that's more pertinent was you know, the feeling of you know, being at home, like you mentioned, and the idea of the casket in that is like, you know, bury me, you know, in a place that's familiar, bury me where I feel at home. So, you know, that read like that to me. And that's what I really enjoyed as much, very much as well. And I mean, the lighthouse is to guide you there, but you know, this is where you feel at home. So, you know, this is why you want that lighthouse. This is why you want to be there. So all those thoughts wrapped in there just worked well for me. It was lovely.
Thank you, Ray. Cheers.
And Hatta, your thoughts?
Yeah, I love the idea of what the lighthouse represented. Lighthouse was the savior of sailors, man. I mean, when they expected to be guided around the corner during the storm, they had to see that light, or they would they'd run aground. Yeah, the ocean tends to spit ships out when it's done with it, always to the shore. It was a great write.
Thank you, Heather. Yeah, thanks.
Mm-hmm. All right. Next, we're going to throw Rack up there. Very gently, we're going to put Rack on the rack.
Brought you a little fairy tale.
Yay. Fairy tale from Rack and Spore. All right. Here we go, Rack.
Bambi, The True Story by Rack and Tor. I grew up an orphan, convinced my parents never gave a buck. Then Mom was murdered and Dad died in a fire. Only in fairy tales could you find such cursed luck. So I moved in with my friend Flower, who just got out of jail. Got myself a butterfly tat, larger than life, right on my tail. Became a dancer named Bambi, but don't ever call me dear. Just because I make extra dough stripping and shaking my perfect rear. Days I work dispatch for a pimp named Thumper from an office in Forest Hills. The girls do a lot of stag parties, but only keep a fraction of what they earn with their skills. As soon as I earn enough money, I plan to turn my life around, get myself a sex change, and move far away from this godforsaken town. And that's the true story of why a boy deer wound up with the name Bambi, and what happens when a son is what you wish for, and a daughter is what you get. End poem.
Oh my God, Rack. Well. Oh.
So politically.
Well, it edges on, you know, everyone's civil rights and speaks out for every group we know. I appreciate you being on the political edge in poetry. I didn't know Bambi was a boy, just FYI, but I guess he is. Does come back to
those
rats.
I was disappointed.
Why?
That was one area. It's Disney. It's not a boy's name. I'm sorry. And that's what made me write
this.
It's like, no, it's not. So that's what made me write this. I said, you know, how they have, you know, all these stories that they pretty them up so that they could put them on TV and revisionist history and whatnot. So, well, this is the real story.
Oh, I like it. I do like it. I like that he got a big cat, butterfly cat, large as life, right on my tail. I do like that particular detail. Why not get a tat? And then, of course, the sadness of it all. You know, my dad died in a fire, and my mom was murdered. That's just sad. But it's very Disney, and I did enjoy that. It just cracked me up, actually. Poor thing has to go get a sex. But I do like that's what you get when you wanted a girl and you get a boy. Or wanted a boy and you get a girl, however it works. But there's some deep psychological pain in there. Did your mother want a girl and got a boy there, Rack? What's going on here? That's for a different show, my love. I love the humor in it, and I, of course, love your details in your story. Right there, right to the raw, deep thought in it. AP, your thoughts on this little true story?
I liked a lot of things about this. I liked the fact that, you know, that the parents never gave a buck. I thought it started, you know, in a way that it was always going to continue with. And I liked the fact it got a tattoo. I thought that was really cool. I liked the fact that the pimp was named Thumper. I liked the fact that they only keep a fraction of what they earned with their skills. And somehow that has great cadence and it doesn't look like it ever could on a page. And then, obviously, the finishing with the sex change operation, which I didn't see coming, but I guess I should have, because that sort of just tidied it up really nicely. And I thought it was a poem of great insight into the current state of world affairs.
Thank you, AP.
Oh, and Jay Hatter, your thought.
My name is Bambi. You got a problem with that? I never thought of that. I never thought of that. That's interesting. Yeah, the boy gets antlers and yeah, sex change.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, man.
And my darling Deborah.
Well, yeah, I've been edumacated as well because I had not realized that Bambi was a boy, especially when you think about how funny it is that any Bambi that's ever referred to in your life aside from this one is a stripper chick. So, like, right? Yeah, I mean, you, come on. But, like, you had me cracking up with this. I was like, you got to be kidding me. The more you read, the more I laughed. And then you got to days I worked dispatch for a pimp named Thumper from an office in Forest Hills. Before I lived here where I'm at right now, I lived in a house in a development, and the development was called Forest Hills. So it just struck me extra funny there. And then, I mean, all of it, every bit of it, I have to tell you that the true story of Bambi is pretty spectacular. This is my new favorite of yours. It was really fun.
There is a Forest Hills in Queens in the five boroughs. And just a little side note, that picture you always see of Bambi with that stupid butterfly on her tail, or his tail, rather. That was the idea behind the tattoo.
Oh, cool.
Makes sense.
Huh. Oh,
I like
cool,
that.
Yeah. Well, aren't you clever?
I love
no,
it.
No, it's the Disney people. It's the Disney people. It's not me.
Nah, I kind of like this version.
And Flower was the skunk from the movie.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. All righty. I have a knee on the board.
All right.
Excellent.
Okay, so this is The Taste of My Flesh. my sweet pea. He yawned, and I was gone. He rubbed me out of his hazel eyes. Forgot I was there at all. I tumbled onto his rug cheek, raised his fingers. He brushed me away with one sweep. I clung to the edge of his beautiful lips. He licked and rinsed the taste of my flesh from his memory. End poem.
Damn sweet. I was like, that ending was kind of really sad. He licked and rinsed the taste of my flesh from his memory. Damn, that's kind of quite a powerful brevity. No blood, just pure emotion. How about that? Amazing share.
Thank you.
Are you a mosquito?
Make
no,
no
I mean,
comment, Heather.
Well, Jan and I was gone. He rubbed me out of his hazel eyes, forgot that I was there at all. Tumbled back to the rugged cheek, raised his fingers and brushed me away with one sweep. I clung to the lip. Sounds like a mosquito.
I wonder.
Could have been.
How could he licked and rinsed his taste off. Guess we don't. The world may never know. What's that? How many licks it takes to get to the wrong place? Back and forth.
Oh, sure. Tease me with that. Oh, I have to. Must behave. I really like the thought of this because you capture the intimacy so beautifully of you know what obviously happened and then to be dismissed after something like that is so callous. But you know, in so few words, you've got all of that emotion and feeling. You don't even mention the walk of shame, and you don't have to. It's like implied in the air. It's the whole, you know, he got rid of me and dismissed. Just you know, I mean, to me too. One of the biggest, I won't say ironies, but tragedies, I guess, is the idea of you know the taste of your flesh. You know, that has so much meaning and so much power behind it. And, you know, again, for me, you know, if anyone values anyone in a relationship, that's like, you know, such a gift and to just, you know, get rid of it. It's like, almost unfathomable. It really is. It's one of those things that, you know, I couldn't deal with. I couldn't face. It's horrible.
Thank you. Thank you, Rack.
Beautiful beast.
Oh, hold on,
it's
I got Wayne.
AP and Hatter. Wants...
Hello, Wayne.
AP.
How y'all doing tonight?
Hey,
Wayne.
Hey, Wayne. I'm sorry, I got the point. I forgot about calling in, so I'm late. Sorry about being late.
That's all right.
We'll call you the late Wayne Gent.
That would be me.
We were just getting comments for Sweet Pea, I think, AP.
Well, see, I read the title, and my head went immediately to, she's going to talk about a burger of the cow that came from the sort of vowel thing. I thought, this is sort of going to be a sort of humor poem, you know, about, you know, eating burgers after feeling good, after sort of being well. And then you sort of read it, and I thought, oh, shit, that sounds really like sort of like it kind of just happened. And I'm not sure what I want to say about that, because whatever I say about that is going to be like, oh, shit, really? Gosh. And that's where I sort of finished.
All righty, then.
Did you want to comment, Heather?
The other phone died. I think I've got everybody commented, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it did. Okay. All right.
Back to you.
All right. So let's move on to, let me see, Deb. Why don't you throw your poem up there?
How sweet. Everybody else, you threw them on the board. Me, you threw my poem. That was very nice. Thank you.
Yes, of course. I would never throw you. Just get the go-teamy stuff. Actually, I'm having you throw you on the board. So I'm making you work.
I can do that. I'm grabbing it right
now.
Yeah. Okay. I come.
I was going to say, Deb, are you going to spruik your contest for group members?
Oh, that's a great idea.
Yes,
thank you. Yeah. Lockdown Larks, LARCS, sent me points and told me if I would like to run some group contests, he would sponsor it. And I decided to put it into three, even though it's just one big contest, for the sake of medals, because I like giving them out. But it's a challenge. There's a really cool quote. There is a word bank. And then I have photos listed 1 through 24. And you don't get to pick this time. However, whatever position you are in when you contact me, that's the number of the photo that you get. So, for example, if you're the 10th person to say, hey, Deb, give me a prompt, you get photo number 10. And then you combine the three, and we'll have some contests and share some points and shout out another thank you to Lockdown Larks. Appreciate that very much. And AP, thank you for reminding me.
Not a problem.
Okay, now did I find the board? Here's the board. Okay, I need to put the poem there. All right. Now this was written to the prompt of the song When You Come Undone by Duran Duran. And here we go. It's called, and my title is actually a line from the song, Can't Ever Keep, here we go. Mozzarella moonbeams light at night. Goldenrod sun light up the day. And every clock tick between the two, you're the face this brain displays. And sleep too. Tugged into the magnetism, skin searches for you. My brain comes undone. Blinded to all the blockades. Eyes are shaded from the view of the neon sign that blinks, flashing an arrow, pointing to pass out of the ache. My body just lays neath the quilt, tucked in a space that your mind showing me with you. At dawn, two eyelids flutter, sweeping the lashes over cheek flesh, biting to stay wrapped in the fantasy, nestled in the body's mesh, coming undone. But the streams of tossed light through the window glass, animating shadow puppets, that's all felt on the stucco light pass. Those silhouettes whisper to me in rhyme, broadcasting the blow by blow, calling for you like an announcer on the radio. Wind sets the curtains in motion. Daylight chases the fantasy. Coffee cologne pulls me back. Then eyes lift, snapping me out of sleep, leaving me battling this itch fueled by my need for you, by the raging hunger for you. So what do you need when you come undone? Anthem.
Sweet, you there?
She's there. She takes a minute for her to get off mute.
Oh, okay.
I'm here. Thank you, Rack. I am just blown away by the language. First off, I'm kind of the mozzarella moonbeams. That's quite the vivid white moonbeam. I like that visual very much. I sweep two, tugged in the magnetism. Where's the other one I liked a lot? The puppets. I like coffee cologne too. But leaving me battling this itch fueled by my need for you, by the raging hunger for you. So who do you need when you come undone? Wow. This is just really beautiful, especially through the imagery and through the cadence and the mystery as you come through it and as you go through it. It's just, you can feel the ache and the urge and the hunger and the want. It's very like breathing, like cadence. You feel like you're taking a deep breath through the whole poem, Dev. I'm really trying to find the right words to say how you, like, pulsate through the poem. And I guess that's the best word for me to say is like, you feel it. Your heart goes through it. It's very, very well done. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you, sweet. Pulsate's a great word.
Okay. And Dragon Tour, your thoughts?
Pulsating leads to throbbing, leads to all kinds of things. I enjoyed this a lot, Deb. It had a date type of feel to it, of you know, just two people that are very attracted to each other, and you know, a little, you know, regional sensation to it too, because you know, just because I tend to put myself in the position, you know, when I read it to I don't know, because I can relate to it that way, or just, I don't know, the coffee cologne and things like that, for whatever reason, makes me think local. The mozzarella moonbeams, you know, never wanted to take a bite out of one of those before, but, you know, now I got another reason to reach for the stars, I guess. It's just really beautiful. And then the idea of coming undone, you know, again, it speaks to the attraction that I'm sure was the main point of this. And the idea of, you know, who's coming undone when you know, is it the person or the one person or the other? It's really well done.
Thank you very much, Rack. Appreciate it.
And Wayne, your thoughts?
Yes, what a wonderful poem. It's a poem of great desire, of yearning for a lover. This is so poetically written with lots of heartfelt emotion in it. The end is expressed emotion. It's a great write, great read, wonderful flow, and I love it a lot. Good job there, Deb.
Thank you, Wayne. Appreciate that.
You're welcome.
And Hatter.
Yeah, a bit of a guess who. She's come and done. Yeah, I see you tested your waters with that inner rhyme, Deb. Be careful, that's addicting. But you did. You went into it and you got back out of it. Okay, it's tricky to do.
Oh, man, it must have been an accident.
Huh?
I was just saying I didn't realize I had done so. It must have been an accident. I was writing from
dreams within the dreams.
A different part of my brain. So I'm worried about inner rhyme, actually. But cool.
Yes, it was. It flowed real well. My brain. Oh, where is it? Oh, I just had it. Oh, go ahead.
Thank you, Mary.
And before I let AP comment, I'm going to say hello to AWDA.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Hello, lady.
You might wind up on a little trash talk now. We got the two contestants on the line at the same time.
Oh, no.
Hey, Pete, tell us what you think.
Well, I actually didn't know this song from Duran Duran. I thought I knew most of them, but I didn't know this one. So I went back and had a listen to it, and it's a really interesting sort of song because it's a sort of mesh, it's sort of sound, a wall of sound type song, Hatter and Deb, and mm-hmm. because of that, it sort of has a whole heap of lines going on and enmeshed, and as the lyrics do here. In fact, the lyrics and the poetry here are far better and more original than those of the song. The song actually goes and gets its rhyme by actually repeating the same word. Deb actually goes and gets her rhyme, because go figure, she goes and does rhymes. And the descriptions are far better than the lyrics. So if I was Duran Duran, I'd just pack up the original lyrics and go to Deb's.
Wow, that's amazing. Thank you.
And Lady A, did you happen to hear it?
Deb's poem?
Yes, ma'am. Yes.
I didn't hear it, but I read it, and I thought it was fabulous, actually. And it was it surprised me more than anything. I don't think I've ever read anything like that from you before. I know you were using colors and stuff, but the essence of the poem, the love, longing, and loss, is something I don't think I've ever read anything like this from you before. It was quite moving.
Thank you. I'm glad it touched you.
Excellent, Deb. All right. We're going to go ahead and move on to Mr. Frank, who is also on our board. So go with Mr. Franklin. All right, come on. Frank, where are you? I know you're in here. I know you're in my audio clips. Here we go.
Mi amor. Tell me something, I am asking. Are you truly happy in this world? Do you need one good man like me to love you so much? I know that you are just tired of being alone at night time, watching twinkling stars glow all by yourself at the beach. Sometimes you seem to feel I've given up on life in love, but I am here to make you believe that a star has fallen from the sky. I am that bright shine of that star, and my lasting glow covers the sea with shades of the alabaster moon. As I stare into the beauty of your eyes, I can sense when you are down, sad and depressed to look at me, for your smile becomes a frown, and your tears just fill up the sea. The sea is the refuge for love. And the gentle currents flowing caress us in a warm embrace when we emerge into the waters. I wait by the serene edge of a shore as the tides recede with the ebbs, but I can't seem to stay for long without longing to see you again. Tell me something, I am asking. Is it too hard to say I love you? Or am I only searching then for the sea to swallow me in the shallow water of love? In the shallow water of love. In the poem.
I really enjoyed the language involving water, as water is always represents movement to me, and I like poems that move. And this kind of represents a movement together. As a couple, as a want, as a need, as a love story, as desire. And I think that as, you know, you move through that language, I thought you did a really great job, Frank. And I liked, like I said, the way water moves, the way the tides moved and the ebb and flow. And I think your poem kind of went all through that process, and I really found it quite beautiful. Deb, your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think that, let me see, I can sense when you are down, sad and depressed, to look at me where your smile becomes a frown and your tears just fill up the sea. The sea is a refuge for love, and the gentle currents flowing caress us in warm embrace when we emerge into the waters. I like the images of taking that dip together. This song, I really, really like this song, and I think that you did a great writing to it, and that soft screech thing you did, it wasn't really a screech, I can't think of the word I want to use, but that soft stretch that you did was like sobering for some reason, and then back into the serene edge of the shore. So it's always interesting to see what you do in your voice with effect brings depth to the poetry. I think you did a great job. I'm going to have to listen to the song. But I got to go. Beautiful. Love and respect, everyone.
Night,
Deb.
Thanks, Deb.
Enjoy your mozzarella.
Hi.
You still there?
I'm still here.
Okay. I'm here. Yesterday.
What's going on?
Oh, my little name so far away. Okay. All right. Well, did we lose Sweet? Let me check.
I don't know. Good question.
Okay. Should have been in the studio.
Awesome.
I'll come in.
Sweet is here.
Yeah.
Ha-ha! Wait.
Yes,
Sweet.
I'm here.
Give me a comment. I said, Frank, leave that girl alone. It's a wonderful read. I was wondering if he's going to kill her or not. This is a great cycle poem. I don't know if I should get excited or run. It's a very dramatic read and a very good poem. That's Spellbound. Great job with this, Frank.
Oh, Ragantor, your thoughts?
I don't know, AP. I think he's vying for the throne of ego with this one. Announcing himself as the fallen star? I mean, come on. it's a beautiful thought, but, you know, I generally prefer to let my women make up their own minds rather than tell them how they should feel. But I mean, he did, you know, there's a lot of beautiful language in it, and, you know, I don't know. I guess I had a little problem with it. I don't know.
He's a psycho.
You guys are hilarious. All right, AP, your thoughts.
Well, see, I sort of came at it from a slightly different angle, but not a mile away, actually, which was each poem that I've heard Frank do recently, it's sort of been gothic and sort of ended with this mercurial sort of Vincent Price laugh, yeah? And so I was waiting for the whole thing to fall apart and for him to sort of somehow end up with mercurial laugh and go maniacally sort of, ah! And I was sort of waiting for it, and it didn't happen. And I wasn't sure whether that meant that there was something wrong with me. It probably does.
Oh. And Lady A, your thoughts?
I thought it was beautifully written, and I have to say, Rack, you know, you spoke your mind on this one, and I get what you're saying, but at the same time, I think that it takes a lot of confidence for someone to write in this fashion. You know, to be that confident, to know that you can mean something wonderful to somebody else. That's kind of how I'm looking at it.
I can appreciate
like the
that.
The last was, tell me something I'm asking. Is it too hard to say I love you? Or am I only searching then for the sea to swallow me in the shallow waters of love? You know, he's putting himself out there for this person to help them express their love. But at the same time, he's showing confidence. But at that last paragraph, that last verse, showed insecurity to me that he was looking to be loved as well. So I kind of have mixed, although I do know where you're coming from, I think it's also the Spaniard in him, that cultural difference where the confidence is there, but yet he is, after all, a man and insecure.
Yeah, there he is, man.
And
Hannah,
how
do you thought? Yeah, I took it as it's the starlight reflecting off the waves, the writing, you know, the top of each one in and then being carried back out. As far as you can talk about it, it's anything in the sea. You know, everything gets spit out of the sea eventually.
This is true.
Just saying.
All right, just saying, man. You are up to read, sir.
To me? Did you?
Yeah, you.
Did you grab the? Okay.
I grabbed the one you wanted.
I got it. I'm still loving you. Okay. It's called "And I'm Still Loving You." It's been a while, so we'll see how this goes. I came across a piece of it hiding in the sand. You got it? Everybody got it? Okay.
Yep.
Got it.
I came across the piece of eight hiding in the sand. I spent it when I thought of you when I was still your man. What was once strong is surely gone. It whispered out your name. I cannot believe it's you and me playing such a game. The dreams have gathered beyond the dark, pretending to be free. I turn to walk and start to run, wishing you were here with me. I cannot reach beyond my view, for all I need is there with you. I pray again these words don't end, and I'm still loving you. Prompt was Emily Dickinson.
Damn, dude.
Zing.
You know, I'm going to say what I said the last time. Please never stop talking to me so I can always hear the sound of your voice echo in the wind and know smiles, tears, and love exist. You just can write a poem like no other I've ever heard. It's just beautiful. I love
you.
It.
I don't know why I didn't put the quote, Emily Dickinson, link, which one I wrote to. I can't believe I didn't put that on there.
It doesn't matter much.
It doesn't, because it's just what once was strong is truly gone. It whispered out your name. I cannot believe it's you and me playing such a game. I just it's just amazing sometimes what goes on, and you always just seem to nail it. It's just beautiful. All right.
Thank you. Thank you, sweet.
AP, your thoughts on this one?
Well, see, it's really interesting, sweet, because the rhyming is quite simple and straightforward, and the words are quite simple and straightforward, but that sort of bypasses the sort of yearning that sits there. And I think that's what Hatter gets, because, you know, of all the stuff that he's gone through in his life, he is able to channel this amazing, remarkable depth and sort of pure yearning. And so when he puts words on a page, it sort of captures that vein of yearning, and all of a sudden we're there with him. And because it's just true and it's real, and we just feel it. And we feel it because he does.
Thank
yeah.
you, AP.
Raconteur, your thoughts?
Yeah, I love that phrase. The Scorpions have a song by that name. But I mean, the thought that encompasses, you know, you totally made it your own. I mean, beautiful, like AP said, the rhyme and flow are emotional. It doesn't need to be dressed up at all. It's just, you know, the way that you present it, it embodies that thought so well. And, you know, there's an inherent sadness involved in just, you know, the idea. Because, you know, the whole, the loss, it's an open-ended kind of a thing. You know, a lot of people's minds immediately go to, you know, a breakup or something, but it could be more profound than that even. It could be because someone passed away. So, you know, still loving you by itself. I mean, that to me, that's a poem by itself. It's a beautiful thought, and you did a great job with it, Hatter. I really like it.
Thank you, Rack, very much.
Absolutely. And Wayne, your thoughts?
I thought it was wonderful. Jay Hatter sounded so romantic. The cadence was perfect. The emphasis was put in the proper place. Your inner emotion was showing. You might want to cover them up. Great read. Wonderful poem. A lot of emotion. It's fabulous. Great job, Jay Hatter.
Thanks, Wade.
And Lady A, your thoughts?
Well, I love that poem, and I've read it before, and I have to agree with what you're saying, too. Like, I mean, he just has a fantastic way of writing the most beautiful poetry, and which just blows my mind. And I cannot reach beyond my view, for all I need is there with you. I pray again these words don't end, and I'm still loving you. Like, he melts me. You melt me better.
Thank you, Radio.
That's Melta. All right, Wayne, I got you up there. You want your SoundCloud?
Yes, I do. Yeah, this poem, I wrote this poem today for a contest. It has to do with Michael Myers got together with Annabelle. And Jack in the Shining, what would happen? And that's what the poem is about. I thought it was kind of funny, so I thought I'd let you hear it.
All righty. Here we go, Mr. Wayne.
This is called Honey, I'm Home. Jack was crazy. Everyone could tell. Then one day he met Annabelle. They became close and stayed alone. What they did was not well known. Annabelle liked to go out and look for a kid. When she returned, it was horrible what they did. Kid in the basement was scared and cried. Jack would torture them till they died. Nobody knew how many kids they got, but it was awful smell as they rot. Then one day, there was a knock on the door. Jack answered. Annabelle was lying on the floor. Man at the door said he was Michael Myers. Said his ride somehow got two flat tires. Wanted to know if he could spend the night. Jack said, hell yeah, as he turned on the porch light. Michael said, I know that doll. I think we're kin. Jack started laughing and said, come on in. After dinner, Myers donned his mask. Said he was walking to town. Don't ask. Annabelle jumped up, screamed, spun around. Michael knew there'd be two going to town. Jack grabbed his axe, headed to the basement. One kid was still alive for his entertainment. Jack would laugh as he chopped off an arm while saying he didn't mean any harm. Poor little kid wept and asked Jack why. Jack smashed his head and said, cause you gotta die. Annabelle and Michael were out on the town. Screaming and crying was the only sound. Blood and guts poured out into the streets. Michael thought it was Halloween with all the treats. Town never recovered from what they gave. When they were done, with the field 40 grave. There were three they brought back alive. Jack made sure none would survive. They still live there, happy as can be. Why don't you go take a look-see? In?
Oh, Wayne. Oh, Wayne, Wayne, Wayne. The group you've been... All your friends. I say... How absolutely this might be. Thank you for sharing this on my show. Oh, my goodness. First off, the rhyme is spot on. The cadence is spot on. The imagery may cause nightmares, and you might put a warning on that. But if this is like the trifecta of everybody that should be in a Halloween poem. My gosh, this is just... we're out on the town. Michael thought it was Halloween with the treats. Oh, my goodness. This is just, hey, they still lived up. They're happy as can be. Why don't you go take a look-see? I mean, there's just so many great... I mean, the imagery is great. The details are great. Come on by. The porch light's on. Just stop by. We'll be happy you're down. Oh, fabulous, fabulous work. I really enjoyed this. So I'm going to ask my other favorite horror story kind of girl. Lady A, what'd you think of it?
Oh, my God. I thought it was horrific. It was just so horribly dark. And gruesome. It was like every single line. And when you started out, I started out that Jack was crazy and everyone could tell. And one day he met Annabelle. But when he started to kill the kids, I thought, what is he saying? What is he doing? And it just kept getting worse and worse and worse. It was a brilliant write, and the rhyme scheme and all of that. The content was just gruesome. Congratulations. Wow.
And Rackmore, please tell me what you thought of this beautiful piece of work.
First, Wayne has to promise to never write me a tribute poem. This is great, Wayne. This is great. I mean, like CP said, It's just the progression of it, the presentation. You did a fantastic job constructing this. It was perfect, down to the little innocent music in the background, and then just you know, let's start with hacking off an arm. But he didn't mean any harm, you know. And then all of a sudden, everything just comes undone.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
He smashes his head with the hammer.
What?
There was a little kid. He smashed his head, and then he killed him.
Yeah, you did a great job with this, and the ending was absolutely perfect. go have a look, see.
Oh, and Mr. AP, your thoughts on this, please, sir.
Speechless.
I know, he must be. He must have lost him.
The dingo ate your baby.
I know. Hatter, your thoughts?
I can't believe I was worried about Mike. From the town. Yeah, just matter of fact, that's what we do here. Chop off an arm. You know, When you're right in the dark, you gotta go beyond the line. You gotta touch down, and then you gotta come back. This is tricky. I agree with the Lady A with Tom to some extent. Well, this is freaking excellent, right?
The thing is, you
have it. All right. I'm gonna wake him 937. Sorry.
Hey,
hello, 937. Oh, it's my baby. Hello. How are you?
I'm doing all right. I heard Wayne over there.
Hey, what's up, man?
Did you hear me?
Hey, what's up, Wayne? Is that AP?
Hey, Phil. Yes.
Oh, Rack, there we go. Hey, everybody. Some Hatter, all right. There we go.
Yeah, we got a house. How's Silk doing tramping around the night?
Can I say a few words now that I'm off mute?
Oh, yes. I'm sorry. AP, please talk about this lovely poem.
I will. Firstly, I was going to say it creeps up on you, this poem. It sort of, and it was the music and it was the performance and it was everything, but it sort of starts out creepy and then it goes downright weird and then it sort of goes even further. And so I sort of thought it's sort of not rated R and it's sort of rated above M, which must make it somewhere around a P, sweetly.
I leave it dark adult.
Mm.
That is awesome. I loved it. Thought it was brilliant. All right.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
So, do you have any comments on that beautiful poem? I know you heard it.
I heard half of it. I'm actually scrambling to go back right now and find it and reread it. What I did hear, I was really digging because I called in before. I was on my computer, just on my phone here. And but from what I heard, it was kind of a Halloween piece, right, Wayne? Because I just caught the last four or five stanzas, I think.
You can interpret that.
All right. Easy. I found it now. If anyone else is commenting, can you come back to me? I'll reread it real quick. Because I'm down yet on my computer.
No worries.
And I'm sorry,
Wayne. Night, AP. Thanks.
Night, everybody. Talk soon. See you tomorrow.
Good night.
Night, AP. Bye.
Bye.
See you tomorrow night.
All right, so what am I doing next? I am going to look for... Lydia, are you about ready to read, my darling?
Yep, I put it in the room, in the topic board.
Yes, I know. I'm looking at it now. I'm coming down to you. I'm getting there. I'm running. I gotcha. Oh, yes, I know. I'm back. It's been a while. I'm still not home yet. I know
the rest of that
kind of crazy. All right, Lydia, you're up. You're ready to go. Let's hear your sultry, sexy voice.
Well, it's not a sexy poem, so I don't know if I can do a sexy voice or not.
Well, it just when you speak, it is.
Okay. So this is called, I wrote this about, I don't know, 5 days a week ago, and it's called When I'm Gone. And that's my daughter and me in that picture. When I'm gone, will you wonder why we were not friends? Will you regret your anger and resentment? Will you finally see the love I have for you? When I'm gone, will you shed tears for what might have been? When I'm gone, will you realize I gave my heart to you? Will you know how happy I was when we were under the same roof? Will you want to hug me and kiss my cheek because you miss me? When I'm gone, will you feel my love in the air you breathe? When I'm gone, will you think of how things could have been? Will you see things clearly and realize you really did love me? Will you long to have one more try to be friends before I die? When I'm gone, what will your thoughts be as you sit alone? When I'm gone, in memory, what memories will you hold dear? Will you dream of what could have been and wonder why? Will you count the days to eternity where I wait for you? When I'm gone, will you remember? When I'm gone, will you remember summer? Will you remember being queen of the beach? Will you remember how proud I was when you graduated? When I'm gone, will you remember how beautiful you are? When I'm gone, will you think of coming home with your baby? Will you think about how nervous you were, how Mom helped? Will you remember that Mother's Day and what a hug meant? When I'm gone, will you long to put your arms around me again? When I'm gone, will you wish for one more day? Will you think of how we laughed, cried, and loved? Will you think of word games, roast beef dinners, and love? When I'm gone, will you wrap your gifts like Mom did? When I'm gone. End poem.
That's a very powerful piece, Lady A. And, you know, I think that when people leave this earth, there are things that you remember that you never thought you would remember about them. I know that that's something I've experienced a great deal this last month, losing both father and father-in-law, two great men in my life. I think that when people leave you, you remember a great deal. And it's very sad that some people have the ability to show that while people are alive and some people do not. It's very inspiring and very thought-provoking, and I think you did a good job. And, you know, I don't know if they're going to be able to read it before or after you go, but either way, it's going to make an impactful emotional meaning in their lives. Jay Hatter, your thoughts on this, please.
Yeah, I agree with you. Very powerful in the words used. You know, what will be remembered is basically how you lived your life. Yeah, you need to find the things that make you happy, and build yourself around them. That's all any of us can do. This is very nice, very good, Lydia.
Thank you. Funny thing is that sometimes what makes you happy doesn't make them happy, and therein is the conundrum, if you will. And there's nothing I can do about that either, because I can't be anybody else other than who I am.
And that's what you should be.
Yep.
Rackentor, your thoughts on this?
Yeah, this is heart-wrenching and unfortunately relatable. You know, the idea of what makes you happy doesn't necessarily make them happy. They have to understand that decision, and that's not an easy thing to do because, you know, to ask yourself, you know, why someone would do something that you know, doesn't align with what you feel, that they have to understand the profound pain it takes to make a decision like that, knowing that it's not something that they would agree with because, you know, you're factoring in your feelings for them. So if they understood that, I think you would be closer to begin with. So it kind of, I don't know, the question itself is just, you know, about how you're going to be remembered. And it's almost a foreshadowing in a lot of ways because based on the way things turned out, you're almost, you know, predicting that they're not going to look back. And that's really the idea of, you know, where the pain is coming from, you know, the hurt, the lack of acknowledgement. I mean, yeah, there's a lot of layers of emotion in this that are just heart-wrenching. This is beautiful.
Thanks, Brad. Thank you.
And Wayne, your thoughts on this?
Well, I always put in my mouth. So probably this poem is of a lady wanting not to be forgotten when she's gone. There's a lot of things she wants to be remembered for. It has a lot of emotion in it. You know, I think life should not be thinking about afterlife. Life should be lived today. Not worry about when you die. You know, so there's a whole lot of memories you still got to create. So why are you worried about what's going to be? I think when you did, you don't know what you have. You need to create more memories, not worry about what you already created. That's what I thought about it. But big poem, a lot of emotion in it.
Thanks.
That it does. Has a lot of emotion in it. Ah.
Silk.
And Silk, my darling.
If I can get off mute here. I totally agree. This is a beautiful and heart and kind of touching and like Rex said, a heart wrenching poem. It was full of both, I think, love and of worry and just, I think, maybe writing this, worrying about your daughter or whatever here. And when you're not around to see after and all that anymore. And two, and just wondering all this. I've noticed when everyone gets a little older, they start thinking more and more about death and everything. And this was just a beautiful and, like I said, heartfelt write with a lot of deep emotions that just really touched and moved me. I just thought it was beautifully done, Andrea. And we could
hear
the emotion in your voice, too, in the read.
Thank you.
Absolutely. I have Pretty Birds up on the board. I will read that. And then after that, I'm going to play Titus. And then after that, Lady A, I would like you to read Heavenly Angels, if you could do that for me.
Sure.
Thank you, my love. All right, so this is Without Reservation by Pretty Bird. I reserve the right to judge you as I see fit, not on your views or looks, not on the opinions of others, but on how you treat me. I reserve the right to be kind without explanation, without giving weight to those who share their opinions on why I should show restraint. My kindness is mine to share, as I will. I will not judge your pain against my own. It isn't mine to carry. But I will be judged. I will be judged on what I cannot change. I will be judged on the fact that I am kinder than you. I will be judged on the fact that I don't lie, that I believe in truth over politeness, that though I can be tough, I am also soft. I will be judged on not hating people I do not know. I will be judged on being kind to those less deserving of kindness. I will be judged on not seeing anyone as less deserving. I reserve the right to withhold judgment and to be kind as I see fit. End poem. That sums up Pretty Bird in a very, very tight little poem. I don't know what else to say. I just read her kind of personality description very quickly. It sounds like her. It talks like her. It walks like her. It must be the bird like her. Very well done, Pretty Bird. I think you kind of said what you're going to say, how you're going to say it, and that's, you know, everybody shut your mouth because it was said. Very well done, my dear. Rackentor, your thoughts.
This is a beautiful rant. It's hard to argue with anything that she has to say. I mean, you know, the idea of being judged, you know, whether you like it or not, that's what tends to happen, whether it's conscious or not. You know, people just tend to be that way. And, you know, for people to be mad at you for being kind to other people, it's just, I want to say unreasonable, so I can understand being upset and ranting about something like that, because if somebody's, you know, don't tell me how to feel, don't tell me how to treat other people, and you know, all of it, it's just very logical, and I want to say how you know, a lot of people think things should be. If more people adhere to these kinds of thoughts, you know, I think people get along a little better. Beautiful rant.
I agree. And Hatter, your thoughts?
Yeah, that's a perfect way to live your life. It gives peace to your inner self. It is a dangerous world out there, but these are beautiful words to live by.
I agree. And Silk, your thoughts?
Yeah, I think you were right when you said this. This kind of summed up Pretty Bird pretty well. Kind of Pretty Bird a little bit, and she does. She doesn't ever lie. She doesn't care. I mean, she'll just tell you. She doesn't just. I think she says no F's given is how she looks at it. And I what she is saying up here about. I reserve the right to be kind without explanation, without giving weight to those who share their opinions on why I should show restraint. My kindness is mine to share as I will. Also have known that she doesn't like if she has people or a friend or something telling her that I don't like this person, I hate them, you shouldn't talk to them. But she'll be like, you can go screw yourself. I don't have a bad opinion about them. I don't know them, you know. And I really admire that. And me, I just thought, I thought she did really well with this piece too. Just like I said, yeah, you're right. I had her trademark her attitude in it all the way, and I really enjoyed it.
Absolutely. And Lydia, your thoughts?
I thought this was a really great poem, and I could relate to it entirely. Well, I think that I reserve the right, starting off, I reserve the right to judge you as I see fit, not on your views or looks, not on your opinions of others, but on how you treat me. And I could relate to everything in this poem, every line in it. And I reserve the right to withhold judgment and to be kind as I see fit. So much resonated with me. There's one line here. I will be judged, but I will be judged. I'll be judged on what I cannot change. I will be judged on the fact that I'm kinder than you. I think that says a lot for all of us. I think... Obviously, this was, you know, written, it was 2 years ago, it was written. It perhaps was about kindness, but perhaps it was about something that she experienced herself. I think what's sad about judgment and and we all do it in one way or another, consciously or unconsciously, is that nobody has the right to tell us, unless you're harming somebody, unless you're harming your children or harming, you know, something criminal or that sort of thing, nobody has the right to judge who you are based on what they think you should be, or what they think you should be doing or not doing or not saying. And I think this says a lot for me anyways. I got a lot out of it. And, you know, we all need to take stock of ourselves and stand in the mirror and say, you're okay. It doesn't matter, even if they're your children, even if they're were your closest friends, nobody has the right to try to change who you are. I think that this is a poem that's really important.
Excellent comment. That was a really great comment. All right, so there is Titus's poem on the board, and it goes right along with Pretty Bird, so I thought I'd play it right after hers. So if everybody has that, I will start Mr. Titus.
Quetzal, the sweetest word for pretty bird. A voice such as yours, it is amazing, and is more exciting than stargazing. In fact, cows in the meadow grazing is listening to you while I'm lazing, the essential part of life, appraising your voice. It needs no rephrasing, the enigmatic feature, curtain raising. Essentially, that awesome be heard, often it becomes the sweetest word. My conscience seems to be stirred. I must admit my own have slurred. A smear on my part. If it preferred I turn to stone, thou'll be then interred in your debt to having myself cured. You pass with a distinction, aliasing to turn men on. You think absurd, sharing such a gift I find embracing, a love and care so justly deserved.
Well, what a loving tribute to Pretty Bird. Of course, any tribute to Pretty Bird just shows that someone has beautiful and wonderful taste. I certainly do enjoy anything that praises Pretty Bird. So thank you, Titus. I certainly enjoyed that. Reckon, what are your thoughts?
Well, you know how I feel about Pretty Bird, so anyone that's going to write a tribute, I'm going to really enjoy. And, you know, he does a good job extolling her virtues, as it were. like we were talking about from her poem, you know, I admire the way she thinks and the way she lives her life. It's a beautiful piece. Pretty Bird for president.
Pretty Bird for president. And Lady A, your thoughts?
Well, I thought it was beautiful, a beautiful sentiment to make this tribute poem for Pretty Bird, and I thought it was beautiful. It, you know, starting with speaking with her voice, such as yours is amazing. It is amazing. It is more exciting than stargazing. And on he goes. He says, "I listen to you while I'm lazing, the essential part of life." Appraising your voice that needs no rephrasing, an enigmatic feature, curtain raising. I think it just is a beautiful piece. Every line, like you know, either he's obviously has a tremendous rapport with her, and to be able to sing her praises this way, I thought it was gorgeous.
Thank you. And Silk, your thoughts?
Yeah, I agree. This was a very beautiful tribute to Pretty Bird, and very well deserving. I mean, like Rack was saying, I really admire Pretty Bird too. She's really awesome, and always liked her attitude and everything. And to me, I thought he did her very well here. And I thought what I really enjoyed was all of his rhyming. That's hard to do, is to have that many rhymes and all these the first two stanzas he had, and actually make it all make sense and not feel forced. And he did that, which is just an even better on top of it, of being such a great and beautiful tribute to Pretty Bird. That was just lovely, and I enjoyed it.
Thank you, Silk. Nice comment. And Lady A, I just put Heavenly Angel's poem on the board, if you would be so kind and read that.
Okay. And it is called If You'll But Write a Love Poem. And then her photograph says, if I can read it, I will always be there for you through the good times and the bad, the smooth and the rough, or just any other time you need somebody, just look for me and I'll be there for you. If you'll write another love poem, I'll reciprocate with this. You are the other half of my very soul, my inspiration, my bliss. Picturesque and serene each magical scene, yet to all of your charms nothing can compare. Life doesn't get better. I know what you mean when I have you, babe, by my side, here to share. You beckon me to come with arms spread open wide, my head laid tight against your chest. You wrap me up in love. If one can die from the sickness of love, I'm beyond terminal, ready to go meet God above. What I believe is this, we're touched by heaven's smile, living day by day in this fool's paradise. This love between you and I, at the end of the day, that's enough to suffice. I do know that at this very moment, you are the smile, the joy of my heart, and for you, I'd do anything. And poem.
Well, a love poem she did write. How beautiful is that? I think it was stunning and personal, and I am kind of blown away by that. I think it definitely represents somebody that's going to stand by you no matter what. This love between you and I, at the end of the day, that's enough to suffice. I love that line, no matter what the world's going to throw at us, it's you and me against the world kind of thing. And I really thought that was important. And I also love, I know that this very moment, you are the smile, the joy of my heart, and for you I'd do anything. To have a love like that would be wonderful. Mm-hmm. Very well written, Angel, very well. And you read it, my love, Miss Lady A. Go ahead and tell me what you thought.
Well, I thought it was beautifully written, and very sentimental. And I thought she had some beautiful lines in there, I loved you beckoned me to come with arms spread open wide, my head laid tight against your chest. You wrapped me up in love. I thought that was gorgeous. The whole thing was beautiful. Just the sentimental value of it, to be in love that way, to feel that way about your partner, it makes it, you know, that's what makes it even more special. So I was beautiful.
And Raconteur, your thoughts?
Yeah, I think a lot of people go through life hoping to find someone that thinks of them in this way. You know, she talks about,
the idea of what love means to her, and you know, and you know, embodies it in this the person that she's with, and she says it in a beautiful way. You know, anyone would want to be the object of someone's desire, like and thought of like that, and you know, written to, and of and about. So yeah, it's a beautiful piece.
And Silk, your thoughts?
Yeah, I thought it was a very sweet and romantic piece, just full of loveliness. To me, just a lot of love, beauty, and you're right. I would love to be love like this. Especially, I like that if one can die from the sickness of love, I'm beyond terminal, ready to go meet God above. And that's just always a beautiful feeling when you're so in love that it's just like kind of swelling and almost a bursting in your heart there, and it's really what she captured there, I thought. And Angel really writes beautiful romantic poetry here, and I really enjoyed it.
Nice comment. And Silk, you are on the board to read.
Okay, this one's just a bit of a kind of free-form poem I did a few months back, and here we go. It's called Burning the Drum. Poets are drug dealers, slingers of language, painting the world in psychedelic flavors, granting the blind vision and the lame legs to run across disco fever dreams. Damned souls that preach to the living, harlots of heaven's fold, striking the chords of sleep's laments, dreams of Arcadia stretched across the halls of eternity, staining the walls of poetic calculations whittled down to exact decimals, points of profound presentation pirouette around the precise decimations. And I wail at the touch of wilted hands trying to caress the silk of my songs, derelicts sucking the marrow of my bones dry, unable to flex a single strand of tendon, recite a single song to describe the majesty of a vision sent from a muse who burns to drown. Boom.
Dang, Silk. I can't even tell you which verse. This is just fabulous. Poets are drug dealers, slingers of language, painting the world in psychedelic flavors. I love this so much. Wow. I wait at the touch of wilted hands trying to caress the silk of my songs. There are so many great lines in here. I'm kind of jealous. I'm very jealous. Oh, wow. Pirouette around the precise. I love that. That alliteration is just profound. Pirouette around the precise. Wow. Very, very good. Harlots of Heaven.
Oh, thank you.
Wow. Brilliant. Back into your thoughts. Oh, I lost Raconteur. Lady A, your thoughts.
I thought this was really great, and I thought you started off with it. I loved it. Was it really, really pulled you right into it. Poets are drug dealers, slingers of language, painting the world in psychedelic flavors. I thought that was terrific. And you go on to talk about that they're damned souls that preach to the living, the harlots of heaven's fold. I thought this was just quite brilliant, actually. And I wail at the touch of wilted hands trying to caress the silk of my songs. I love that line. Derelicts, sucking the marrow of my bones dry, unable to flex a single strand of tendon or recite a single song to describe the majesty of a vision sent from a muse who burns to drown. Wow. This was a very interesting and intriguing write. I quite enjoyed it.
Well, thank you, Andrea.
Absolutely.
You're welcome.
All right. I believe I only have one more SoundCloud to do, and I will be done for the evening. Okay. Dun, 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 duh. And I do. It is Naomi. Oops. That's not the way to do it. You click on her poem, not on her. All right. Thank you guys for hanging out with me. I really appreciate it.
Great show.
Oh, thank you. Only because I have great poets. If I didn't, I'd have a crappy show. All right, there we go. If we got it, all I got to do is hit. No, I've got two. I've got one more from Crystal. I lied. Wait a minute. Huh. I think, hold on, we might have a mix-up here.
Disembodied, disrespect, do I even need to finish the rest? In a gray world of color, there isn't blue, so am I supposed
to... Hold on. I got a Naomi.
That's not
got
Naomi.
A Naomi poem. I got a Naomi poem with a Crystal soundtrack. That might be a problem. Because that definitely ain't not a Naomi, but that's a, yeah, that might be a problem because I don't think I got a Crystal. So, okay, okay, well, I got a Crystal poem. So I'll put Crystal poem up, but I don't know if I got a Naomi soundtrack. And then we'll go from there. Okay, there's that. So we'll start there again. Maybe that'll help us. All right. Start there. Okay, we're back to Christmas.
Disembodied, disrespect, do I even need to finish the rest? In a gray world of color, there isn't blue, so am I supposed to do? Made up in a lifeless play, tangled up in puppet strings, obsessed with material things, blindfolded, masked for the missing blessings in disguise when caring for a mountain size, the gold shiny things. Who fantasize, and as I fall my heart and speak by my mind that things could last a long time, they never do, the laser shining slowly break towards time. I watch the eyes of selfish souls pass on with shattered glass and lost a long time past, and I shed a tear for the real things that were clear, love, hope, compassion, peace, beautiful things, such as these. Watch your actions forgive your past, plastic things will never last, it's the feelings you ignored. The unpath you never explored. You never know how much time you have to hold on to what wasn't so bad. Smiles, the laughs, the hugs, the last ones ever, savored moments, real treasure. Hope we hold on to that shade of blue lying beneath the yellow sun with people learn to have fun, not taken for granted, growing where they were planted. I don't understand the ways of man, stumbled by shiny things and the disappointment they bring, and hear the lifeless cries. Surely, they will die.
Well, that was Crystal. That was pretty cool. I've never heard Crystal sing, and I've never heard her sing it anything that way, but that was really awesome. I really liked a few lines in here. Watch your actions, forgive your past. Plastic things will never last. I really like that. It's the feeling to ignore and the unknown past you've never explored. You never know how much time you have to hold on to what wasn't so bad. The smiles, the laughs, the hugs lasting forever. That's pretty wild stuff. Way to go, Crystal. I really, really enjoyed that. Silk, your thoughts on that? Oops, I got to put you back on, Silk. Sorry, go ahead.
Was I muted?
Yes, I was. You were. Are you back yet?
I am. Okay.
Oh, no, I think I hung up on Silk.
Call back, Silk.
Silk, call back.
Was that bullet in from me?
I called back.
I think I hit
the wrong button over here or something.
I did. I went to take you off of mute. I hung up on you. I'm so sorry.
Hanging up on me. I see how it is. Yeah.
I know. I hung up on Silk of all people. I think you're probably the first person I've ever hung up on.
I actually don't hang up on myself all the time, so it's all good.
I'm sorry, baby boy. I'm sorry.
No, you're all cool. It's all good. But I really dug this. You're right. The way she read this with the music, it was epic. I thought it really gave it kind of like that gritty down. Or I'm trying to think of the right word, but gritty. I guess is close enough feel to it with the music and the way she read it, and the emotions to this. It really is. To me, I've realized this a lot of times. What she is saying here in this fourth stanza, as I follow my heart, I am subdued by my mind. Things could last a long time, but they never do. They lose their shine and slowly break towards time. I watch the eyes of selfish souls pass on with shattered glass. They've lost a long time past. And I shed a tear for the real things that were clear. Love, hope, compassion, peace, beautiful things such as these. And the whole poem I thought was relatable because I think anybody after they get past a certain age starts to realize that that all things do kind of start losing their shine and everything.
Yeah.
It's new for a while, but it just kind of loses its newness after a while, and you're always trying to find something new, something new to like capture your interest, I guess, or to just hold on there or make it new again. And she really got this, I thought. And plus also what she was talking about here with the how things used to be clear. It's another thing that happens with time. Things that were so clear when they first happened or, when you first felt them can fade over time too. And I just really enjoyed the whole piece. It was great.
Yeah. And Lady A, your thoughts?
Well, first of all, she's a great poet anyways. Her pieces are always well written. But I thought her flair in this one with the music and singing, it was almost not a rap, but it was very, what's the style I'm thinking of? Like hip-hop almost, I guess you could say. I thought it was a great piece. I very much enjoyed it. It was different. It was fresh and quite well written. I thought she did a wonderful job.
Absolutely. All right. I do have Naomi's poem. And Lady A, I'm going to get you to read that for me, please. And that is actually the last poem of the night. So.
Okay. I'm going to have to
refresh. Get to that. Hold on, I got to put it up there. I haven't done that yet. At least I don't think I did.
Oh. Naomi's is what you want me to read, right?
Yeah, there it is. I put it back down at the front.
Okay. All right, and this is called I Once Thought That Happens. I once thought that happiness was watching a sunrise. By Naomi Sarah. I've stared into a sunrise, waiting for its golden rays to meet my eyes of ashes, summoning a radiant, dazzling smile. That's how I thought happiness happened for a while. But all I could muster was a lukewarm shoulder shrug, a tired yawn and sigh. Well, I guess that's all, and felt my hopes fall. Thought that happiness was a habit, that if I wore it long enough, it would stick to me like a jacket, covered in positive patches, made of hearts and unicorns, but the jacket never seemed to keep me warm enough. Accepting, finally, that happiness simply starts when it is you who picks up your own shattered pieces. It is you who drags yourself off the cold bathroom floor. It is you who decides to get up one morning, realizing that sometimes it is the strongest a person can do in their lifetime. End poem.
Wow.
That was excellent.
Yeah, it was.
We all have to have our pity parties every now and then. And I wrote something to this effect a while ago, but it is ultimately, you have to. You have to get up and get going or you succumb.
Yes, just, and this is a great message to that. And, you know, you have to remember that there's always someone there for you. Regardless, there's always the next step forward and there's always the next step to move on. And there's always that step to go ahead. And Hatter, your thoughts on that?
My screen froze. I had to play catch up here.
All right, that's fine. Silk, your thoughts on that?
Yeah, like what Lydia was saying there about, sometimes we have a pity party for ourselves. And, I mean everybody gets feeling down like this for a time. I know I do now and then. You get that, what's the point? You wake up and, you can't even find a reason to get up out of bed. You're just like, But I usually just have to yell at myself and then just fake it till I make it for a little bit, and then I get back to good, I guess. And that's really what this spoke to me about, was just sometimes just life can really just throw you down and get you all down, but then you just kind of got to grit your teeth and kind of like, screw you, life, and then get back up, you know, and just find your own happiness, I guess. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I agree. I think it's hard for a lot of us. I mean, God knows it's been hard for me a lot of times, especially I think with COVID, it's been hard for a lot of us. And top of COVID, living life in general, been very hard. But I think we've done it great together. I mean, I got to say that a lot. And I'm very proud of that, that we've been able to do it. So I wanted to...
Push the button, Heather.
Oh, I'm sorry. Anyway, sorry about that. I wanted to do this in a end tonight's show with one more poem because of today.
Yeah.
If I can find it. If I cannot, I'm going to be very angry because I only have a minute or so to find it. But
Ed, I have one for today.
Huh?
If you can't find it, I have one for today.
No, I've got it. Okay. Come on.
Damn, it's cold.
Jeez. Is it cold?
In California. I'm in California now. It's just cold. Right now.
Don't be so cold. All right. Yeah, today is Veterans Day, and I want to recognize all of our vets. So that is what we are doing as we say goodnight and sign off. Tomorrow's Tic-Tac-Poe, so make sure everybody goes and has fun with Hatter and AP. Sorry, Hatter. That's Saturday night. But I want to read my little poem for all of our vets, and this is Black Shoes and White Gloves. Lavender and honeysuckle flowers line white picket fences, grandstanding homes with picture windows. Sharpshooter lies silent and tree watching, moving targets, chewing bubblegum slowly, waiting for the enemy to walk between the yellow lines. Turkey, hams, green beans, and asparagus, weightlifter mamas deadlifting holiday dinners, from the working kitchen to the fair maiden in minutes. Headquarters tries with periwinkle stars and Christmas lights. Knuckleheads have soldiers lie exfusing bombs as thunderclouds and gunshots as firecrackers off in the distance. Mom and son spent months worlds apart until the day it all stops when shining black shoes and white gloves knocked on Mom's door, and now she doesn't celebrate holidays anymore. To our veterans that have lost their lives and for the families that have lost them, we thank you, love you, and for that we have our freedom. And I cannot tell anyone how grateful or express my gratitude for that. So for all of you that live in this country that I love, God bless tonight. God bless our soldiers. And with that, everybody say goodnight. Thank you for being a part of my show, being a part of Sweet Discussions. Love and respect. And we will see you soon. Good night, everybody.
Good night. Thank you.
Good night. Much love, everyone. Good night.
Good night.
Clap for me.
No, don't clap for me, honey.
I love you.